name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. The 10th day of Muharram, Ashura. Before sunrise, the sun was in debt, not knowing whether it should come up and raise or it should stay where he is. Should he raise up and actually shed light onto the faces of the martyrdom? Or should he stay and not to highlight the earth for those indistributed people and crime? He was struggling to know what to do, until when he saw Imam Hussein and his companions were ready for martyrdom, he was convinced to raise. Darkness was a place for the lovers to reach God and chant with him, and to find that Imam Hussein is the true source of light. While for the enemy, darkness is a secure place, a place that they could hide their sins and their ill deeds. Imam Hussein set out to pray with his companions. When the prayers was recited, the drums were bounced. He was looking at the sky, praising the Lord. He said, God has chosen us to become martyrs. It would be best to be patient. Death is a path and a bridge from this hardship of this world to a nice meadow in of heaven. For us, it is like coming from a prison to a nice big mansion. But for our enemies, it is as if we're moving from a mansion to the torture rooms of hell. Then he raised his hand, saying, O Lord, I take refuge upon you from grief and sorrow. You are my greatest aids in hardship. You are my greatest assistant. You are the one who relieved me from all the sorrow and pain. Pain that can turn a believer into a sinner and turn friends into enemies. My God, I have brought them to you, for I have closed my eyes to all. Ah, my God, you are the most gracious. You are the greatest of all desires.
It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. Oh people, rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
Due to Imam Hussein's foresight, he ordered his companions to create fire all around the tents, except for the front part, which was being protected by Imam Hussein and his companions. It was like a hurdle to protect the women and the children. When Shimr saw this, he became very angry. He said, Hussein, were you that much impatient to be burned in this world as well as the next? One of the greatest men of Kufa, under the name of Muslim ibn Osajih, came forward to Imam Hussein and said, "Allow me to kill him with one of my arrows." Imam Hussein denied and said, "I will not initiate the war." Imam Hussein, along with his companions, which 32 of them were riders and 40 brave warriors, against 30,000 well-armed armies, Imam Hussein gave all he could to bring them to light. Imam Hussein, Abu al-Fazl Abbas, and some of the religious companions of Imam Hussein, such as Zuhair, such as Habib, were all giving advices to them so that they can bring them to light and salvation. Their advices and tips were the most greatest lessonings of that day. Before the war began, Imam Hussein rode on his camel towards Umar ibn Sa'd's army. He said, "Oh, the people of Kufa, listen to my words and don't rush. It is your rights that I must give to you and make you understand, so that I can close all the doors for reasons and excuses that you can make later on. I have to bring you to salvation. So listen to my words, think about it, and then decide. Surely my Lord is the one who sent the Quran, and he only looks at the one who actually deserves it." Imam Hussein said and continued, "Think of me and my family tree and whom I came from. Then criticize yourselves for doing such an action. Is it not true that I am the grandson of the Prophet of Allah? Is it not true that I am the son of Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, and Imam Ali, the Prophet's cousin, and the one who always credited the Prophet? Is it not true that Hamza is my uncle, who is the leader of all martyrs? Is it not true that Ja'far al-Tayyar is my uncle?" "Didn't you hear the Prophet's word about me and my brother? He said, Hassan and Hussein are the two dignified youngsters of the heaven. So if you believe me, trust in me, and return your minds into justice. Surely I am not lying, for Allah hates those who lies. There are some among you that think I am lying, but there are still some others that heard and remembered these words of the Prophet. So turn to peace and justice." There was a loud silence. Shimr was beginning to get worried about that Imam Hussein might get influence on the army. So he yelled out loud, "Yes, I've heard these from the Prophet." Habib ibn Mazahir came forward and said, "Oh really? But what have you got to do with God and its religion? What have you got to do with the Prophet? You are sinful and you are impute." Imam Hussein continued, "Do you doubt what I have said? Do you doubt that I am the son of Fatima? In the east and in the west, there is no one who is the son of the Prophet but me." There was a loud silence, and nobody said anything. Imam Hussein listed some of the names of the commanders of the army. He said, "You were the ones who sent me letters telling me to come. The army is waiting for your arrival to get complete, to wage war against Yazid." They all denied. Imam Hussein said, I swear to God that you sent me letters. But if you regret, I will return to wherever I want to go. One of the army men said, Hussein, we don't understand you or your words, but what we do understand is that you must surrender. Imam Hussein said, I will never do such disgrace to myself. I will never run like slaves, but I only seek refuge in God. Then he criticized the people of Kufa and illustrated the consequences of their actions within their eyes and said, Oh, the group of wrongdoers, you are people who asked for my advice and aid with open arms. But when I came to your aid and help, you have welcomed me with swords and spears and fires. Surely you call your friends as your enemies, and your enemies as your friends. Your enemies that you are following didn't establish any justice, nor did they wish for your good. They are the people who just bribed you with a small percentage of this world, and you accepted it all. I feel very sorry for you. You are the most unfortunate people I have ever seen. You forgot me and forgot all about justice and went to the army. Imam Hussein continued, O folks, betrayal is within you. You must be punished by Allah. You have betrayed me. And just remembered the illegitimated man or the son of an illegitimated man. They would either draw their sword to fight or to be disgraced in front of everyone. We will never accept disgrace and contempt. For God doesn't approve and deserve disgrace and contempt upon us. We will fight with the enemy, even with this small army. Imam Hussein's words has really overwhelmed Hur. He ran towards Imam out of embarrassment that he can handle. He said, may my life be sacrificed for you. I am the one who stopped you from moving on. I would have never thought that it would reach to this. If I knew, I would have never done such an action. Oh my Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Is my forgiveness accepted? Imam Hussein said, it is.
See the pain. Oh, companions, you went through torture and pain. Fought for Allah and in His way you were slain. Oh, companions, you went through torture and pain. Fought for Allah and in His way you were slain. We revere what you all did in Karbala, standing by the grandson of Rasulullah. See the pain.
Hur said to the Imam, if you allow me, I will go and fight with my horse at these people. And after a while, I will be descended off of my horse. Imam Hussein said, do as you seem it perfect and right. Hur turned back to the army and said, "Oh, the Kufians, may your mother mourn and cry over your death. You have obstructed the prophet's grandson, and you have cut off the water from Imam Hussein, while the Jews and the Christians were allowed." The army's response to Hurs was a couple of arrows. At that time, Hur returned to Imam Hussein. One of Imam Hussein's companions came forward and said to the Imam, "I wish for one more time I can pray with you." Imam sent him to the army and told them to delay the attack till after prayers. One of the army men said out loud, "The prayers of Imam Hussein is never accepted." Habib, with anger, ran forward and said, "The prayers of the Imam isn't accepted while yours is?" The commander of the infidel ran towards along with his companions and fought with all their might against Habib. As a cause, Habib became a martyr, the oldest and the greatest member of Imam Hussein. Hur became impatient. He ran forward, and he also became a martyr, just like Habib. As a cause, Imam Hussein and his companions began to recite their prayers with the protection of Sa'd and Zuhair. They did it until Sa'd became a martyr as well. One by one, Imam Hussein's companions were separating from Imam Hussein, which was a great loss for him. When the time of martyrdom came, they became very proud of themselves. Imam Hussein ran towards each one of them, put his head over their faces. "I'm sure for the martyrdom and for the martyrs that this moment would want to never be changed." There were slaves in Imam Hussein's group. They begged and pleaded Imam Hussein to go to fight. But when they heard Imam Hussein's refusal, they started hitting on themselves, until Imam Hussein accepted to let them go and become martyrs. With the martyrdom of 72 noble men of Imam Hussein's companions, it was Imam Hussein's turn to protect the tents and the women and the children. He fought very hard against the enemy, and by the passing of each moment, and with every injuries that he occurred on his face, he felt happier, for he felt he was getting closer to his grandfather, to his father, to his mother, and to his brother. As the religious man leaves and departure this world, we sit down sorrowful about their departure. As we close our eyes and our heart, we can see the heads that don't have any body being held on spears of ignorance, and words like, "Is there anyone who can help us?" isn't being answered until the time that the son of Imam Hussein rises and extinguished the utopian of the Prophet of Islam.
When your horse returns to Alcamp riderless, and your son and I emerge out sorrowful, when your horse returns to our camp riderless, and your son and I emerge our sorrow.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Today, the day of Ashura, is the saddest day that one could imagine on the face of the earth. When the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grandson Hussein, was slaughtered on the plains of Karbala. A very brutal, inhuman butchering of men and children, the cause of which we've been discussing for the past few nights. Tonight, I want to touch on a very important spiritual disease that caused the army of Ibn Sa'd to commit the inhuman acts of brutality that they did on those plains. It has been narrated on numerous occasions from different ma'sumeen that الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. The love of the world is where sin starts. Any mistake that mankind has made, there is a root of it in the love of this world. We are here on a temporary basis to be moved to the hereafter and be judged on our actions. The weakness in that belief causes many things. Before I get to explain what some of the ahadith about the love of the dunya, this world, and what it can cause, I would like to tell you what our belief is about this world and the way it works, and what we should believe and how we should feel about the pleasures of this world. I will read to you a very interesting hadith from Imam As-Sadiq Salamullahi Alayhi. He narrates the Prophet of Allah, Jesus, may the peace of Allah be upon him, that he says that I'm amazed. He says, تَعْمَلُونَ لِلدُّنْيَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَرْزُقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ عَمَلٍ. Says you work for the dunya and you've been promised that you will be given sustenance without even working. وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ لِلْآخِرَةِ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ. On the other hand, you don't work for the hereafter, but we've been told that we will not receive anything except through action. This is our belief. In this world, even non-humans, even animals, dogs, creatures in the oceans, they all receive sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every creature receives sustenance in this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has provided for all. And he has promised that we will receive that. We should work. We should work for it. We should try our best to obtain halal and to eat halal, to be able to survive and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a better hereafter. Our focus should not be to obtain more and more and more of this world and the pleasures of this world. As another hadith says from the sixth Imam Salamullahi alayhi, says, مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ مَاءِ الْبَحْرِ كُلَّمَا شَرِبَ مِنْهُ الْعَطْشَانِ ازْدَادَ عَطَشَ حَتَّى قَتَلَهُ. That the example of this world, the pleasures, the wealth of this world, is like the water of the seas and the ocean. The more the thirsty drinks from it, the more thirsty he gets until it kills him. This is how the love of this world and the greed to have more and more gets us. When we don't have this proper belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Qarun thought that his own actions, what he did, got him where he was with all the wealth. But Allah says, no, it may seem like that, but it's not. Allah is giving it to him, and whenever he wants, he'll take it away. If we don't have that, we start wanting more. Instead of wanting more in the hereafter, we start wanting more in this world. More and more and more. Just like, as the Imam said, the water in the ocean. It's salty. The more you drink it, it doesn't quench your thirst. It makes you thirstier, so you want more. You drink some more, you get thirstier, and you want more. And you keep drinking more and more until it kills you.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain martyr. Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein.
The tragic scenes on the plain of Karbala are beyond comprehension. How could you imagine a six-month-old baby in the arms of its father being slain by an arrow that is used to kill muscular men? They say when the arrow hit Ali ibn Asghar, salamullahi alayhi, it left his head hanging. What could cause such brutality? What could cause the people that after Imam al-Hussein, salamullahi alayhi, was killed, that they come and chop off his finger to take the ring off? I don't know how well you know the history and what happened on the day of Ashura. It's been narrated that on today, the Imam did not want to start the battle, not for his own sake, because he knew that this battle would lead to paradise and for him to become one of the most blessed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of the earth. It wasn't for his own sake. It was for the sake of the people who had come to fight him. He didn't want them to commit such an inhuman sin of killing their own imam. So what he did when they came to fight was to advise them, O people, do you not know me? People, do you not know my grandfather? Do you not know who my mother was? Was not my mother Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet? Do you not know what the Prophet has said about me and my brother? If you don't know, ask the companions of the Holy Prophet. He said and said and said, but no one listened. they actually started making sound. So even the ones that were maybe thinking about changing their mind would not hear what the Imam says. After a number of these advices when the Imam was giving, it has been narrated that he said the following. Let me read and translate. It's been said that they surrounded Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi from all directions. He asked them to be silent so he can speak. They didn't. They kept on making noise. The Imam said the following, وَيْلَكُمْ مَا عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنْصَتُوا إِلَيَّ فَتَسْمَعُوا قَوْلِي. Why is it that you're not silent to me so I can speak to you and you can hear me? وَإِنَّمَا أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ الرَّشَادِ. I'm guiding you toward the right path. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَنِي كَانَ مِنَ الْمُرْشَدِينَ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي كَانَ مِنَ الْمُهْلَكِينَ. He who listens to me will be of the guided, and he who does not will be of those who will be in hellfire. وَكُلُّكُمْ عَاصٍ لِأَمْرِي غَيْرُ مُسْتَمِعٍ قَوْلِي. You are all disobeying my orders, and you're not listening to me. فَقَدْ مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. This is the piece that I was speaking to you about. Your stomachs are full of haram. Unlawful food has caused this. You were not satisfied with the halal. It wasn't like you didn't have halal at hand to eat. It wasn't like you weren't gaining enough through halal means. There was plenty. What had happened over the past 30, 40 years after the Holy Prophet ﷺ passed away was that the people had gotten used to obtaining money from governmental sources that they did not deserve. The Holy Prophet would distribute the Baytul Mal equally, but after him, that changed. It embedded with the people that they did not care how they obtained their property. They got used to obtaining it through haram means. And this is when the Imam says, your stomachs are full of haram. You can't listen to me. We should be very careful how we obtain the money that we buy our foods, the houses that we live in. It's not that they were eating pork. That's not what the Imam is saying. The money that they obtained was not lawful, and it caused them to do what they did. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwahi allati halat bifina'ik. Alayka minni salamullah. أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Just imagine tonight the Imam has passed away. Abbas is not around to protect the children and the women. Those hungry men are running around beating on the children and the women. Zainab salamullah alayha is trying to protect everyone and she gets the most beating. Salamullah alayki ya Zainab. God knows what she went through on this night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us more and more by the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our love for the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice what the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. Especially this lesson that we learned tonight about where we obtain our money and where we obtain our food and the rightful belief in Allah giving us sustenance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of all, to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.